They don't care about policy. This is why it's so, going back to Donnie's point, it's so galling when, you know, Donald Trump stands up and starts, you know, talking about sharks and whatever. And then people say, but, you know, I still don't know which regulations Kamala Harris is going to roll back for more housing. Mm-hmm. As though these are somehow equivalent parts of the discussion that, you know, you have one party that is going to do have policies that maybe some of us on here won't like.
Right.
You have somebody who's going to be a president who's going to, you know, do what she does, and some will be good, some will be bad, and somebody who is basically sociopathic, who wants to be an autocrat, and the party doesn't care.
That is the it's Tom Nichols from The Atlantic, not really known for their adoration of Donald Trump. But when you listen to what the Republican candidates out there, J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, what they've been saying and being on message, ask yourself if they understand what the American people are dealing with right now.
You know, gas prices are up 45% under Kamala Harris. That's just in Michigan. In Michigan, home prices are up 41%. I know we have a lot of parents and a lot of grandparents in this room. Speaking as the father of three young children, I would like my kids, when they grow up and move out, and hopefully that eventually happens, but when they grow up and they move out, I want them to be able to afford homeownership in the United States of America. That's a core part of the American dream, right?
So J.D. Vance speaking to issues that are affecting the American people. It seems like when you're looking at the polls, and we spoke with Tim Murtaugh of the Trump campaign about an hour ago, and you look at the polls are looking very favorable for the Trump campaign. But that one thing is always in the back of our mind. Can we trust this next election? Are the things in place to secure your vote as one vote and everybody else's vote as one vote? We bring our friend Joy Murdock back onto the show, a nationally syndicated columnist and a Fox News contributor. Joy, welcome back. Happy Wednesday. Good to have you here.
Happy Wednesday, Annie. Great to talk to you.
You know, we're looking at the polls, like I was talking about with Tim Murtaugh a little bit earlier in the show. Things are looking up. It's good. You'd rather be in Donald Trump's position from a polling standpoint than Kamala Harris's right now. But everybody has a little bit of an apprehension to feel comfortable and confident about the outcome of November. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's very important. A lot of people, a lot of Republicans, even some independents and Democrats, are concerned about whether this will be a fair election, whether the people who are voting actually are eligible to vote, whether all the ballots that are counted actually are legitimate ballots. And, you know, that's a big concern. I'll say right at the top of our discussion that some people say, well, you know, it's rigged, so I won't bother voting. I'm going to stay home because they're not going to count my ballot. Now, of course, it's possible you cast a ballot and it might not be counted. There's always that possibility, either because of nefarious reasons or it might get lost or stuck somewhere, whatever it is. But I'll promise you this. If you do not vote and you do not cast a ballot, I give you a 100% probability they're not going to count it.
Amen.
So, yeah. So show up, vote, and you know, 99% chance your ballot gets counted. If you don't cast it, 0% chance it gets counted. So go out and vote.
Yes, absolutely. Wise words with Joy Murdock right here. We've seen different states across the country try to purge their voter rolls of people who are dead, people who don't belong in the rolls. We've seen that there have been migrants who should not have the opportunity to vote as part of these rolls. How are you feeling about the direction this election is heading and our security that we need to have confidence in so far?
Well, you're right. There have been some states like Nevada, I believe, removed. I think the number was around 80,000-90,000 votes from people who were not eligible. They'd moved away, passed away, what have you. There are other states who've tightened things up a bit, but there's a lot more tightening to go. And I detail this in a piece that I guess we'll discuss that's in the Daily Signal, which was posted a couple days ago. I'm working with a group called Common Sense Elections. We just got started, and the website is stopbogusballots.com. That's stopbogusballots.com. And what we're doing is taking voter rolls and comparing them with other government databases, property tax records, DMV records, the post offices, changes of address forms, that kind of thing. And what we're doing is comparing all these things, and as a result, we're able to find examples of addresses where people are supposedly registered to vote that turn out to be things like vacant lots, abandoned buildings, an abandoned yoga studio in Vegas. It's one of my favorites. The Las Vegas airport, the Harry Reid International Airport, you got people registered to vote there. And we're able to challenge these ballots ahead of time and tell the county clerk, look, don't send these ballots, don't send any ballots to this address. It's an abandoned vacant lot in Reno where seven people are registered to vote, so don't send anything there. Now, after the fact, if let's say the clerk goes in and sends those ballots out anyway, and they're intercepted by left-wing NGOs, ballot harvesters, et cetera, and they fill them out and deposit them, we're able to tell, oh, look, we just got three ballots showed up from 485 Elkins Road. That is, in fact, an abandoned warehouse that nobody lives there. There are no bedrooms. There are no bathrooms. There's no plumbing. Those are not real voters. Don't count those ballots. Some county clerks will say, that's terrific. You're right. Thank you. We'll put these aside, not count them. Others will say, nope, we're going to do what we want. In that case, we go from persuasion to litigation, and our plan is to go to court and make sure that these folks do the right thing. Just to give you a sense of what the magnitude of this problem is, again, commonsenseelections.bogusballots.com. We took a look at six swing states. We don't have any data for Arizona, but we have for the others. And for example, in Michigan, which Trump won in 2016 by 10,700 or so votes, we have 229,000 people who are registered to vote at apartment buildings with missing or wrong apartment numbers. Now, why is that important? Well, if the post office comes by and drops off the mail, and you're at 1234 Main Street, but there's no apartment number, what they often will do is just leave that mail in the mailroom. Now, if that's a catalog or some junk mail, who cares? If it's a ballot, that's a problem because people can come by and say, look, nobody's picked up these ballots in 3 days. Why don't I take them upstairs, fill them out, drop them in the mail? Or the ballot harvesters know, hey, that building has a lot of transient people. People come and go. Drop by every day at 6 o'clock. Any loose ballots sitting around in the lobby, pick them up, bring them in, fill them out, drop them in the drop boxes. Not good. State of North Carolina, which Trump lost by about 74,000 votes in 2020, we have 159,000 people registered at invalid addresses. The addresses do not exist. The numbers are wrong, what have you. That's about double the margin of victory that Biden had in that state. And of course, Pennsylvania, the greatest prize of all among the swing states, 19 electoral votes. Biden won that by about 80,000 ballots in 2020. And in Pennsylvania, we have, according to the work we've done using fractal computing, 262,000 change ballots or people registrations for people who are registered in Pennsylvania, even though they have moved out of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. 262,000 versus a margin of victory of 80,000 for Joe Biden. So this is a big problem. If you add it all up across, we looked at six states, in this piece that's on the Daily Signal by yours truly. I've got a spreadsheet that lays all this out. 660,000 votes, or I should say registrations of people who moved out of state. 663,000 people who are registered at invalid addresses. 916,000 people who are registered at apartment buildings with missing or wrong apartment numbers. And across the six categories and the six swing states I analyzed, we're looking at 2.8 million ballots which have problems with them in terms of their addresses and so on. So Common Sense Elections, StopBogusBallots.com, we're doing what we can to try to challenge this, let the county clerks and election officials know when things look funny. And hopefully they'll cooperate. And if they don't, then we have some very talented attorneys who will try to encourage them through our lovely court system to do the right thing.
StopBogusBallots.com. Is that the right website there?
StopBogusBallots.com. Correct.
I'm very heartened to know that this is taking place. Was there anything like this in place in 2020?
Well, there are definitely voter integrity groups that existed. I think that since 2016, with that situation, 2020, with the Stop the Steal campaign, if you will, that there have been more groups focused on this, which is good. And I think that a lot of them are doing decent work and doing what they can, but they don't have the level of computing power we do. The Jay Valentine, who's the man who started this organization, works with eBay on their online security. He has done the same with Geico, the same with State Farm Insurance. He worked with TSA to develop the anti-terrorist do not fly list. So these guys know heavy-duty computing, all kinds of stuff I don't even understand, and they're able to dig much deeper, much more quickly, much more efficiently than a lot of groups that are doing relational databases, which are slower and not as deep and also very expensive to operate. We're able to be able to do this at a relatively economical basis. So I would say that there are other groups doing this sort of thing, but they don't have the technology capabilities that we do, and therefore aren't able to dig as deeply and find the rot as far down as it goes.
We're speaking with Fox News contributor Jory Murdoch. I'm excited to hear that we've learned some lessons, because 2020, in COVID, a lot of things were changed last minute, very questionable in the way, state legislatures are supposed to change things. Some courts made some decisions outside of the state legislatures. There are a lot of questions, and it resulted in, we talk about ballot harvesting. That always sounds like bad words to me, but the truth is that ballot harvesting is a policy that is in place in certain areas, and the Republican Party needs to know, the GOP needs to address this and say, if they can do it and they're going to do it, then we need to do it as well. And it does seem to me that, you know, I don't know if we get an A-plus on this on the Republican side of the aisle, that the lessons that were learned in a very difficult way in 2020, that there are a lot of entities that are putting all hands on deck to try to stop 2020 from repeating itself in 2024.
I do think that people are much more vigilant. I don't think anybody, when 2020 happened, you know, starting election night when they just stopped counting the votes mysteriously, I think a lot of us were taken completely aback by that and didn't really know what was happening. I think people are aware of this type of behavior. I think people are much more cognizant of the fact that the left will stop at nothing to get their people elected. And if that means breaking the law and stealing and engaging in all sorts of illegal and immoral behavior, they will do it, and they'll do it comfortably, and not even, their pulse won't even increase, because they'll do it very casually in a very relaxed fashion and, unfortunately, an effective fashion. And so I think people are much more vigilant about this. I'm not a big fan of voting early. I'm not a fan of ballot harvesting. My hope is that we will get in the position where we can get rid of that stuff and go back to voting on election day with paper ballots, voter ID, et cetera, et cetera, and only U.S. citizens, not foreign citizens. But in the meantime, if those are the rules with which we've gotten stuck, I'm afraid those are the rules by which we have to play, at least in the short term. And that means we need to be out there and also, unfortunately, engaging in ballot harvesting. People have the opportunity to vote early, and so they should. If that means show up at the polls for in-person voting early, great. If it means sending in absentee ballots, fine. I would recommend not putting them in the U.S. mail, but dropping them off directly at the county clerk's office or whatever it is. We have a big problem with the mail post office, which is they are able to, they have to keep records on this. They did an audit recently, and they're able to deliver something like, I think it's about 98.5 roughly percent of the political mail on time. Well, that sounds really nice, but that means that 2.5% of the ballots are either getting to voters too late to fill them out, or they're getting back to the county clerks too late to be counted. And as you well know, some of these swing states, people win them or lose them by 0.5%, 0.6%. I mean, just
very consequential,
very small fraction. So if 2.5% of the ballots don't show up, you know, that means your margin of victory didn't get delivered till after the counting got finished. So don't drop your ballots in the U.S. mail, even assuming they're totally honest and there's nothing funny about it. They just are not delivering at 100%, which is the number, the only acceptable number for that sort of thing.
Well, the website is stopbogusballots.com. Jory Murdoch, thank you for being a participant in these efforts, and we look forward to seeing the results of them, hopefully in a happy day after November 5th.
Hopefully a very happy day. Yes. All right, Annie, thanks very much. Well.
You as well. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Jory Murdoch, a nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. Always wonderful to have Jory on with us to talk about all of the important things that are taking place. We're going to take a very quick break here. Harris Faulkner is going to join us when we come back. Her best-selling book, Faith Still Moves Mountains. She is going to join us to talk about the hurricane situation, both Helene and the upcoming one, Milton, as we are watching it barrel towards the west coast of Florida. Plus, we'll ask her the difference between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Is there a difference? Kamala sure doesn't think so. A real quick break here, and we return with Harris Faulkner, Fox News. We'll be right back.